Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 to 47 and tells of the early church. Acts 2 verses 42 to 47. Let's hear the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. God will bless this reading from his holy word. There was a great wee book, a tract really, which was brought out a number of years ago by Nicky Gumbel, the founder of the Alpha Course. And its title asked a provocative question. The title was Christianity. Boring, untrue, irrelevant, ? And it is a provocative title because when some people think of Christianity, that's what they think. That Christianity's boring, that it's untrue, and that it's irrelevant, that it doesn't speak into people's lives anymore, but it's rather old-fashioned. But are these things true? Now, we don't have enough time today to go through the truthfulness of the claims of the gospel, though there's plenty of evidence into that, of course. But rather, I want to think through whether Christianity really is boring and irrelevant. Because quite often, that's what people think. A lot of people think that the church is boring. For some people, that will come from a place of ignorance. For others, it will perhaps be because of a bad experience of church, maybe from childhood. And maybe they still think that church is like that. Whereas actually, church has changed. I met someone fairly recently and they said to me that they would like to come to church, but the pews were so uncomfortable. I was pleased to say to them that I agreed with them. And they weren't to let that put them off, because now we had chairs that are a wee bit more comfortable. There was a presumption in that person that nothing had changed in the church. Christianity is often equated with someone's experience of church, and if it hasn't been a good experience, then Christianity can be seen as boring. But of course, if we look at the Gospels, we know that Jesus is anything but boring. And as we look at the early church, it was anything but boring. People also have the idea sometimes that Christianity is irrelevant, that the Christianity is only for those who are of a certain age. Sometimes I hear that and people say, I'll live my life and then I'll think about faith, as if they can decide when their end will come, when of course they can't. Some think that Christianity is for a certain social class or a certain political view, but we know it isn't. It's for anyone who will believe, anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Now this morning we're continuing our series looking at meeting together in a COVID-19 world. And this morning we turn our attention to the early church in Acts chapter 2. This is a key passage in the Bible because it's here that we see the beginnings of the early church and what they started doing. You see, from 120 people or so, we see in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 people accepted the message about Jesus and were baptized. And so it's important for us to then go on to see what they did after they were baptized. What happened to all these new converts? Now, what I want you to notice today is that everything that happens in the early church is natural. It's not contrived and it's not forced. This is naturally what the believers did. and it certainly isn't boring and it isn't irrelevant. Now, first thing I want to think about today in terms of the early church is their devotion. It says in our passage that these early believers devoted themselves to four things: to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we looked at this when we thought of what is church a few weeks ago. But what I need to notice here is they devoted themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word devoted, it means wholehearted. It means all out. We speak of a couple who are devoted to each other, or someone who is devoted to their football team. Devotion is unwavering. You see, when people came to faith in Jesus Christ, it was not simply an add-on. And I'm sure that there were some people who were converted who were really busy people. But this wasn't just an add-on onto their already busy lives. It wasn't as if they were saying, I'm a member of the bowling club and the golf club, as if they had such things in those days, and now I think I'll be a member of the church. It doesn't work like that. Because being part of this amazing body called the church is something that is in a completely different category than anything else. You see, those who became believers in Jesus, they completely changed. Life was never the same again. And we see that in the way that their life was from then on. Because we see how they spent their time, how they spent time together every day, how they had everything in common. They were devoted. This is not an add-on to their life. And I ask the question, in the same way, are we devoted in our faith? You see, devoted is something very different from apathetic. It's also something very different from fanatical, which has a negative connotation. Devoted, because these early believers knew that what they had found was of infinite value. We're currently running a 4 o'clock service in the afternoon, really for families and for our young people. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the parables that Jesus told. And last week, we looked at the parable of the hidden treasure. And perhaps you remember that story, the story of a man who found this treasure in a field. And it was such precious treasure that he sold everything he had so that he could buy that field, so that he could own that treasure. And in many ways, that's what's happening here. Those who are converted to Jesus, they know they've found the truth. They've found what's important in life. They heard Peter's message. They accepted it. They were baptized. And they devoted themselves to it. And the question for us today is, are we devoted in the same way to the Lord? And if not, why not? I've been reading a book recently on revival by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Lloyd-Jones speaks about those who were touched by God in revival, when the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. And he gives many examples of when revival has happened in the 17th century, the 18th century. And what he says is that when the Holy Spirit comes down upon people, when that happens, then time seems elastic. And certainly that would be true of the accounts of revivals like the Lewis Revival from 1949 to 1953, where Christians, or, you know, the church was really impacted, where God was really working, and many came to know Christ for the very first time. And in that situation where God was on the move, what happened? Well, services could go on for hours, into the early hours of the morning. The people were so thirsty for God. Are we thirsty for God? And are we devoted to Him? Now, the second thing I want to focus on today is that the people were filled with awe. They were filled with awe. In the NIV version, it says that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. I tend to think that's a slight mistranslation. Other translations, including the older NIV, says everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. And the NIV translation, as it stands, suggests that the awe comes from the signs and wonders that were performed. The latter translation, that there was awe in the midst of the church community, which is what being in the presence of God causes, and that signs and wonders were performed. The two things are separate. But either way, it doesn't really matter. What I want you to notice is that there is this sense of awe. And I wonder if you've ever had that sense of awe in your life. Perhaps you've had a sense of awe in other realms. Perhaps you've been in a really dark place at night, and you've looked up to the skies and you've seen the Milky Way and you've seen it really clearly for the first time. I remember when I was in the Scouts, perhaps 14 or 15, and we were on a scout camp in Ireland, and there was no lights really in the campsite where we were. And just looking up at night and seeing those millions and millions of stars, wonderful. Or maybe it's seeing a wonderful view that takes your breath away because it is awesome. Maybe even you've experienced a sense of awe that's talked about here in this passage. That sense of being in the presence of God and His power being manifest, because that's what was happening. There was something electric. God was there. He was present. He was doing amazing things through the apostles. And the people were filled with awe. Now, this doesn't seem run-of-the-mill to me. It seems exciting and wonderful, something that I would long to be a part of. The people were devoted. They were filled with awe. And when you understand what Jesus has done for you, are you filled with that sense of awe? We ought to be filled with that sense of awe and wonder, that though we are sinners, that God in His mercy reached out to us in Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross for our sin, and that we can live in the knowledge of that truth each and every day. So we see in this passage that people were devoted, they were filled with awe. And then the next thing we see is that they all had everything in common. They were all together and had everything in common. Now, we could skim over something like that, couldn't we? But actually, this was something that was amazing. You see, these people were just converted on the same day. They don't necessarily know each other. They were thrust together. And yet they wanted to be together. It wasn't like they were forced. And there's a sense of belonging at a deep level. And see what they did. They sold property and possessions. They gave to anyone who had need. There's a sense of togetherness. So much so that they met together every day. That's quite something, isn't it? Some people struggle with, you know, meeting together once a week in a church service. And yet they met together every single day. A survey was done a few years ago in America, pre-COVID obviously, where researchers were trying to work out the decline of church attendance at worship services. And what they found was that the main reason that church attendance had gone down was not because people were no longer going to church services. It was simply that they were going less frequently. So whereas people before went every week to a church service, now they were going only once a fortnight, or perhaps only once every 3 weeks. And when a lot of people do that, then attendance clearly goes down. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not advocating that we should have a three-line whip for people to attend a church service at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Clearly, as a church here in West Kilbride, we have different ways of engaging. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, messy church, life groups and more. But what is most important is that we're not just consumers, but we are engagers, that we are all part of the body. And we don't just dip in and out when we feel like it. And it ought not to be an onerous thing either. Sometimes, if we're honest, we can come to a church service out of a sense of obligation. To be honest, sometimes I've been guilty of that and I'm leading the service. But if we're truly in Christ and changed by Christ, there ought to be a real desire within to be with God's people, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there ought to be a sense of anticipation, a sense of excitement, not just about being with other Christians, but of God being present and moving among his people. When have you had that sense of excitement of coming together with other Christians? Now, the last thing I want to think about today, especially as we will be celebrating communion today, is that these early Christians broke bread together. That's not to say just that they ate together, but as Jesus had instituted, they celebrated the Lord's Supper together, probably as part of a meal. Now, it's interesting to note, in these times, when most people are not able to be at the building, but are rather at home, that the early Christians broke bread in their homes. Because, of course, there were no church buildings in those days. Now, why did they do this? Why did they break bread together? Because the Lord's Supper is a reminder of why they were together, a reminder of Jesus, his body given and his blood shed. As a people, we tend to forget, and that's why it's so important that we continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to remember Jesus and to come to the centre of our faith. And that's why it's important that we continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper, even in the difficult circumstances we are facing at the moment in our world. Now, the last thing I want to think about today is the last verse of our passage. And I want you just to take a step back from it for a moment. Because in this verse, what do we see? We see the people praising God. He is their focus. We see them enjoying the favour of the people. And we see daily the Lord is adding to their number those who are being saved. And as you take a step back from that verse, what I want you to notice is there is a vibrancy. There is an excitement that's not hyped up, but it's something that is genuine. This is what it means to be part of God's people. God's people meeting together in the presence of God. Does this excite you? It ought to. You see, Christianity is not boring. It's not irrelevant. And neither should church be. And if we keep the focus upon the Lord, put him at the very centre, and truly focus upon him, it never will be. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day. We thank you, Lord God, for the church of which we are a part, the worldwide church, the local church here in West Kilbride. We thank you for the communion of the saints, especially as well on this All Saints Day. Lord God, we recognise that sometimes we can see Christianity as being boring or irrelevant. Perhaps that's the view in our nation today or in our community. But loving Lord God, we thank you that when we're brought back to the heart of our faith, it's never boring, it's never irrelevant, it's something exciting, something awesome. Lord God, as we are devoted to you, we pray that we would be filled with that sense of awe and wonder as we worship you, as we spend time with other Christians together. So, loving Lord God, bless us through your word today, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.